It was a clear, open, beautiful day, far from any inhabitants, in a remote field, at the time we saw the record of which it has been spoken, brought and laid before us by an angel, arrayed in glorious light, who descended out of the midst of heaven. Now, if this is human juggling, judge ye.
Welcome to our series on the witnesses of the Book of Mormon. My name is Camry Bagley Fox, and we are joined today by Daniel Peterson, president of the Interpreter Foundation and executive producer of the Witnesses Project. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Many people who are critics of the Witnesses claim that they never actually physically saw something. What do you have to say about that?
In order to believe that, you have to throw out the statements of a lot of the Witnesses, because many of them repeatedly say, we held with our hands, we saw them with our eyes. And if you just throw out the primary source documents, then hey, why not just throw the whole thing out? You can make up anything in history if you toss out all the source material. It's really important to distinguish between the three witnesses and the eight witnesses. The three witnesses definitely claim to have seen things, to have heard the voice of God, to have seen an angel, to have seen the plates and other objects. They never claim to have touched the plates. That's an experience that's reserved to the eight witnesses who did. They apparently actually leafed through them to the extent that they could, turned the leaves of the plates and so on. So we have to be clear when someone says, well, he never touched the plates. That may be true of one of the three witnesses. It's not true of the eight. And I find sometimes in treatments of the witnesses, people sort of merge them all together and they'll take a statement that's true of this one but isn't true of that one and generalize it. The fact is that the eight witnesses definitely do claim to have seen and touched the plates. And I would even say, with regard to one of the three witnesses at least, Martin Harris held the plates on his lap, covered, before he had the experience of actually seeing them as a witness. That's the source of the statement which I've always found very funny in the witness's film, where he says, I knew that they were either lead or gold, and I knew that you didn't have enough credit to get so much lead.
Yeah.
I don't know if he meant that to be funny, but it is funny. But he knew that it was too heavy to be wood. It was too heavy to be a rock. Lead and gold are exceptionally dense. Mm. And so he knew it was either lead or gold. He had touched the object to that extent, at least. And we have others who touched the plates on various occasions, including the unofficial witnesses in some cases.
Right, Emma Smith.
Yeah,
talks
Emma
about
Smith did. She had
them.
To move them around, and Lucy Mack Smith saw some of the objects and held them, and Josiah Stoll. I mean, there are several who do.
So there's a witness that is said to have touched them through a toe frock.
Yeah.
What is a toe frock? Can you tell me more about all of that?
Yeah, a toe frock, you know, a frock is just a cloak that in the early 19th century both men and women might wear. And toe apparently was a kind of inexpensive form of linen. It might be something you'd put into a work shirt or something like that, not fancy dress. So the plates at one point were wrapped in a toe frock, and this witness held them and saw them, as it were, in a toe frock. But the witness seems to be William Smith, and that's really important. This is a case of people taking one testimony from one witness and generalizing it to the others. William was not one of the eight witnesses.
Okay.
But you can't generalize from William's experience to the eight witnesses who do claim to have seen them.
Right.
And David Whitmer's testimony also, I think, needs to be kept in mind. On numerous occasions, he would say something like, I saw these things as clearly as I see you now. And you know, he'll sometimes say, they were as real to me as anything is real at any time. And he sort of hits his fist on the table or on the bed next to him to make his point that these were solid physical objects. He knows them to have been literally there. He says, I wasn't hallucinating. This was not imagination.
The three witnesses saw a vision, right? That's how they saw the plates. How do we know that they weren't just hallucinating or that Joseph didn't just hypnotize them or something?
Well, there's no evidence that Joseph knew how to hypnotize. There's no evidence that anybody on the American frontier, so far as I knew anything about hypnosis. It was beginning to come into fashion in France, I think, and maybe reach the United States at a certain point. But out on the American frontier, Joseph Smith, really a hypnotist? Not very likely. And in fact, he would have had to do it at least twice with the three witnesses, because you have two separate visionary experiences. I think you're taxing his hypnotic abilities, for which we have no evidence in the first place, pretty heavily. So were they hallucinating? That's an interesting issue. It is true that people will sometimes hallucinate at the same time. If you put people in a room and let in some gas or something, people may begin to hallucinate. But the question is, do they hallucinate the same things? Mm. And the answer is no, they don't. They hallucinate based on what's already in their own minds. For three witnesses like this, on two separate occasions, to have exactly the same hallucination seems almost impossible. I just say, well, if you believe that he did it by hypnosis, provide some evidence.
Yeah, I agree.
People have given up the attempt to argue that the witnesses were dishonest, because they clearly weren't dishonest. People have given up the attempt to argue that they were insane, because they clearly weren't. So you've got to find some other way of dismissing the testimony. And a very popular way recently has been to say, well, they only claim to see the plates, the angel, etc., with spiritual eyes, which the critics then go on to assume means not literally, not really, not with my physical eyes. I think they have to prove that, because the witnesses are on record in many places as saying, I saw them with these eyes. They were just as real to me as anything is real. What they're saying is that in the visionary experience of the three, that this was not an ordinary vision experience, that it's not like just going out into the woods and seeing a couple of things and some props. No, it's supernatural, but it was real. They really saw these things. There's also an attempt to dismiss the eight witnesses as being purely visionary, not real, because you have statements like, I think it's John Whitmer who says, well, the plates were shown to me by a spiritual power. What he's saying is that this was a divine gift. It wouldn't have happened had God not been behind it. It wouldn't have happened in an ordinary way. I don't have these kinds of experiences every day. They were shown to me by a spiritual power. God made it possible. Because the other descriptions are quite matter of fact. We went out into a grove of trees. Joseph brought the plates, we saw them, we hefted them, we turned the leaves. They stress over and over again, this was real. I really saw these things, I really held them. This is literal.
And do you think that that's because people in today's world are more distanced from spirituality, from religion, where maybe in the past it was more normal? Everyone had those spiritual experiences weekly when they went to church, because that's what everyone was expected to do. So to some degree, they were getting tastes of that, but nowadays, there are people who have no religion at all and don't associate with spirituality.
Yeah, I think that might play a role. And to say, look, if you have spiritual feelings, they're just imagination. You've talked yourself into this. You're not really having it. Sure, you can feel good about the universe, but it doesn't say anything about the universe. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been a trend for a long time. I mean, Freud's most famous book on religion is called The Future of an Illusion. Hmm. What he's getting at, and what many are getting at, is these spiritual things are illusory. They're not real. And also, we're just more distant from that world of those people. In fact, I will say this. Some people said, well, you know, people in the early 19th century were detached from reality. We know reality better than they did. And I think, really? We live in air-conditioned houses. We spend a lot of our lives looking at screens, television screens, computer screens. They were spending their lives out clearing fields, pulling up tree stumps, moving rocks. I mean, who's detached from reality?
Right. If anything, we're going to be the ones being fed something through the devices that we're consuming rather than actually.
That's right. I can go all day long without feeling the weather outside or sensing anything about whether it's daylight or night. It doesn't make any difference to me. We are divorced from reality, not the 19th century witnesses who were farmers and worked with their hands.
That's such an interesting thought. Yeah. Thank you.
I have this to say. Of course we were in the spirit when we had the view. For no man can behold the face of an angel except in a spiritual view. But we were in the body also. And everything was as natural to us as it is at any time.
Joseph was dead, the young church balanced on a razor's edge. For grieving saints, there was no tested path, no definitive word on who should lead. But mere hours following Joseph's death, some began to campaign, while others looked for revelation from God.